Pope Clement XIII Encyclical Quo Dei, on Unity Among Christians, September 13, 1758. Venerable Brothers, Greetings and Apostolic Blessing. 1. Since that day when the unbelievable and unexpected happened, when God took our unworthiness and placed it in the Holy See of St. Peter, the summit of all the churches, we have been troubled by a bitter and constant concern. A much heavier burden of sorrow has been placed on us than we are able to bear. We would certainly have given ourselves over to weeping if something had not deterred us from this excessive sadness, something similar to what happened to the most holy prophet, the dynamic leader of Israel. Moses exclaimed to the Lord, "Why do you treat your servant so badly? And why have you placed the weight of all this people on me? I am not able to carry this nation by myself, the weight is too much for me." 1. In order that Moses might not fail in spirit and that he might bear the burden he had assumed, God commanded him to gather 70 men from the elders of Israel. He granted the spirit of Moses to them so that they could be teachers of the people and share the burden with Moses. That same consolation alone sustains us now, venerable brothers. God himself chose you much sooner from among the multitude of the faithful to care for souls. He gave you to us as our helpers and assistants. When you were ordained to the episcopacy, he abundantly filled you with his own spirit so that we might be confident in the aid and excellence of God and supported by your singular wisdom. You are on fire to fulfill your duties, and we conclude that much of our sorrow and concern has been removed. Therefore, in order to find encouragement in our mutual faith, 2, and to arouse your sincere mind to remembrance, 3, we write this letter to you. We know that you are ardent and upright against the foul enemy of the human race and have organized yourselves as in a battle line. Nevertheless, we exhort you to meet the enemy more quickly and courageously, to wage the war well. Standing in battle, may you fight for the house of Israel. 4, 2. In so many and such dangerous battles, the hope of victory is that much better and that much more certain if we preserve unity in the close bond of peace. 5, therefore, venerable brothers, may your love in all its strength remove from the hearts of the faithful the seeds of any kind of dissension. It is your responsibility that everybody seeks peace. 6, that everybody searches for the elements of peace. 7, the Lord Jesus, a short time before he gave himself up to die, said to his apostles, "Peace I give you, my own peace I give you." 8, he does not leave the inheritance of peace only to the apostles, but also to us. He says, "Not only for these but for those also who through their words will believe in me." May they all be one, Father, may they be one in us as you are in me and I am in you. 9, venerable brothers, see to it that by eliminating spiritual dissensions, we constantly and continually preserve so great and so precious an inheritance which the Lord Jesus transmitted to us. The apostle says that the Holy Spirit is a pledge of this inheritance. When we place ourselves before him and beseech him to make holy the sacrifice of the church, we ask nothing more than that the bond of love be preserved unbroken in the church by spiritual grace. It is good for us all to remember that when the Lord asked, "Who do men say the Son of Man is, and whom the disciples believed he was?" they answered that there were various opinions about him. But St. Peter confessed that he was the Son of the living God, not revealed by flesh and blood but by the Father. 10, 3. From this, you can easily see that there is a difference between the sons of light and the sons of the world. The latter disagree among themselves with various and diverse opinions, while the former, initiated into the mysteries of unity, profess the one faith of all by the mouth of one, through the head of all. Therefore, concentrate all your attention on increasing peace among the faithful. Uproars, contentions, rivalries, animosities, and dissensions should be silenced. 11. In this way those who go by the name of Catholic can all be perfect in the same sense, in the same opinion. 12. Saying the same thing together. 13. Knowing the same thing and understanding it thoroughly. They should understand that if they want to be members of Christ, they cannot have concord with the head if they want to be in disagreement with the members. Nor can those who have not lived in fraternal love be counted as brothers by the Almighty Father. 4. The Apostle shows us remarkable signs of love and reliable pointers, so that nobody strays in a matter which contains the salvation of the human race. He says, "Love is patient and kind, it is never jealous, love is never boastful or conceited, it is never rude or selfish, it does not take offense and is not resentful." 14. From this, we should clearly understand that where love is absent, there reigns that malice which we men have brought about from the beginning of the human race. Arrogance and proud contempt, stubbornness and avarice, intolerance and ambition, envy and the inordinate desire for glory, these and other depravities of the spirit flare up from this like the torches of our soul. All of these things are produced by the corruption of lust in the world. 15, 5. Let swelling of the spirit and stubborn customs depart from episcopal government. We who say we dwell in Christ should walk just as he walked. 16. We should not seek an example anywhere else than from the Lord Jesus, whom we should imitate. For when the disagreement among the disciples arose about who should be reckoned the greatest, he said, among pagans it is the kings who lord it over them. This must not happen with you. No, the greatest among you must behave as the least, the leader as if you were the one who serves. Here I am among you as one who serves. 17. Therefore, just as the Lord Jesus Christ forbade the apostles to rule, we believe that we have come not to rule the church but to serve it. May we concentrate all our thoughts, labors, and counsels to that purpose, so that we might preserve safe and sound in the church those sheep entrusted to us by the Lord. We should desire nothing more than their welfare. 6. Therefore, elders, we speak to you in the words of the Prince of the Apostles. I am an elder myself and a witness to the sufferings of Christ, and with you I have a share in the glory that is to be revealed. Be shepherds of the flock of God. 18. Watch over the sheep, not like the hired hand who sees the wolf coming, abandons them, and runs away. 19. But gladly,